Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a lovely morning. We're thankful for the good weather. Matthew chapter 21. We're reading verses 31 and 32. Coming to the end of our study of this parable, which in the wonderful providence of God is very good, because next week I go over to England. And I wouldn't have liked to have left in the middle of a study. But we're coming to the end of this parable, just as I am coming to an end of my time with you this school year. So let's read those verses that I mentioned. Verse 31 and verse 32. Now the Lord Jesus, having told this parable, little story of two sons, their father, and his desire to have them work in the vineyard. Now the Saviour directs a question to those men to whom he was talking, those men to whom he had spoken this parable. Listen to what he says. Whether of them twain, that is, of them two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, that is, when they had seen the publicans and the harlots believing John's message, when they saw that happening, you didn't repent, he says. You repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. We're coming to the application of the parable. When the Saviour presses home upon those to whom he has been speaking the truth of the gospel. Now I want you to notice in the verse 31 how quickly these Jewish leaders give the right answer. The Saviour says, whither of them, which of the two sons, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. No hesitation. Many times when the Saviour put questions to those who really were his enemies and who had come to try and pick holes in his message, they try to avoid giving an answer. But they don't hesitate here. And they give the right answer. And that's important for us to notice. Because it tells us that even wicked men, even those who in their minds are enemies of the Lord Jesus, have a knowledge of the truth. They understood what the parable represented. And they understood the point that was being made. Now it's not surprising that this is so, that men have a knowledge of the truth, especially these men, because they had heard one of the greatest preachers that ever came amongst men, and I'm speaking of John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus himself said John was the greatest of the prophets. He didn't perform any miracles. There were prophets who had performed miracles, seen miracles happen in their ministry, but not John. Because you see, boys and girls, it's not working miracles is the great benefit bestowed by a preacher, but it's the proclamation of the Word of God. That is the greatest benefit a preacher can bring to a people. The Lord Jesus wrought many miracles. He healed, I hesitate to put a figure on it, but I'm inclined to think he healed thousands. Now, I know in the Bible we read of a small number that he healed. And yet, here and there in the Gospels, we read that he came to villages and he healed all who were sick. I would imagine you wouldn't have to do that in too many villages without running up a large number of people healed. I think I'm safe enough in saying that he healed thousands of people. And that was a wonderful blessing. But there's no one in heaven today, because the Lord Jesus healed them of their leprosy, or of their paralysis, or their blindness, or their dumbness. Great as such a blessing is, it won't get you to heaven. Do you remember the servant of the high priest who came to arrest the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And do you remember what Peter did? He drew a sword and he took a swipe at him and he cut off his ear. Now, he didn't intend to cut off his ear. I have no doubt that Peter meant to cut off his head, but in the kindness of God, Peter failed. And what did the Saviour do? He rebuked Peter. Didn't do that, Peter. That's not how my cause is advanced. It's not what I want my servants to do. And he reached out and he touched the wounded servant of the high priest and healed him. But it didn't change that man. Though he had wrought on him a most wonderful miracle, he went on in the business of arresting the Lord Jesus, bringing him to trial and finally his crucifixion. That healed servant, I believe, had part in all that. And I'm inclined to think, since the Bible doesn't give information to the contrary, I'm inclined to think that man died in unbelief. He died an enemy of Christ and he went to hell. And I'm sure there are others who experienced the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus and went to hell. You just think, what about the thousands who ate of the loaves and the fishes? They partook of a miracle. They partook of food that had been miraculously brought into existence by the power of the Lord Jesus, but it didn't save them. And what I'm saying is that while it is stated of John the Baptist, he did no miracle. He did perform toward his generation the greatest blessing that any man can bestow. He preached the Word of God. He preached the Word of God. I can say I do believe, and the words of the Saviour here in the two verses we have read prove this. I believe I can say that what John did through his preaching was turn a key in the door of heaven and pull it open and ushered people in, invited people to come and enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what John did. And these men to whom the Lord Jesus is speaking heard John. They heard John preach. And that's how they were in possession of a knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. Two sons, says the Lord Jesus. Two sons. Who was right and who was wrong? Oh! The first one, said the enemies of Christ, as we'll call them. That's what they were. They had a knowledge of what was right and what was wrong. And I tell you this today, each one of you here, whether you're saved or not, you have a basic knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. There's not one of you here today, whether you're saved or whether you're not, but knows that you need to be saved, that you should be saved, that you should obey the gospel and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's set before us here. Which of these sons was right? And these leaders immediately said the first. They didn't have to say, let's have a wee moment and we'll talk. Who do you think of it? No need for consultation among themselves. Immediately. Because they knew. They had that basic knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. The Saviour here is speaking. If you consult verse 23, the chief priests and the elders of the people, these were men who led the opposition to Christ. But they weren't ignorant of what was right. They weren't ignorant of the truth. They weren't ignorant of the truth. They could immediately answer the Saviour's question. But knowing the truth and obeying the truth are two different things. You can know the truth and not obey it. That's illustrated in these men. These men knew the truth. Their response to the Saviour's question indicated that they had a knowledge of what was right. But they went on to crucify him. They went on to reject him. Oh, boys and girls, you can sit here in our assemblies for years and be taught the gospel and in the classroom as well and in Sunday school and in church and in children's meetings and young people's meetings. You can be taught, but never obey. What a tragedy this is. What a tragedy this is. I would say these men were pretty well acquainted with God's word. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23, said this in the verse 2. Just turn over the page in your Bible, Matthew chapter 23, the verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, we can draw conclusions from what the Saviour says there. These men sat in Moses' seat. That is, they sat in the place of teaching where Moses had sat. They held the office that Moses had held. They taught the word of God. And listen, they taught it correctly. For the Lord Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 23, in verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, you observe it. When they sat in Moses' seat and opened the law of God and taught the law of God, what they were saying was right. I tell you, those to whom the Saviour is speaking were some of those who very well knew what was right. But they didn't obey what they knew was right. For in Matthew chapter 23 and the verse 3, the Lord Jesus says, you observe what they say, but don't do as they do. For what does he say? For they say and do not. They teach what is right, but they don't obey it. Now that's not much different from being taught what is right, but not obeying it. People can know what's right, but not obey. They can know what's right, but not obey. And that's the sort of people to whom Jesus was speaking and telling this parable. Is that the sort of person you are? You're hearing truth, you know the truth, but you haven't obeyed it. Oh, I say to you, boys and girls, listen. We sang the hymn this morning, deliberately so. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. And he will pass you unless you call upon him in obedience to the gospel and ask him to save you. Furthermore, these men, and I'm pointing out how privileged they were, these evil rejectors of Christ, who knew what was right, were able to give the right answer to the Saviour's question. They not only had possession and a knowledge of what was right and true, a knowledge of the Word of God, but they had the example of others who heard the gospel and obeyed it. Look at what we read there in those two verses we read together. Verse 31 again, halfway through the verse, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. You rejected what John the Baptist had taught, the gospel he preached. But even as you were rejecting it, there were these publicans and harlots listening. And they believed what John said. And they repented of their sins and they pressed into the kingdom of God. But even as you saw this happening and you saw these wicked people converted, you still rejected the gospel. Even though you saw that it worked, even though you saw the power of the gospel demonstrated in the lives of these publicans and harlots, still you rejected the word of God. Now, these publicans and harlots, these were the most wicked people in that day. Openly sinful. Openly in breach of God's law. They lived in a most wicked fashion. And yet they repented upon hearing the gospel. And they got saved. And they pressed into the kingdom. But these men who knew God's word, who even taught God's word, did not obey the gospel. Even when they had God's word before them, showing them what they should do, and even when they saw others getting converted and giving them an example of what it is they should do, they still didn't get saved. Listen to me, boys and girls. You all attend gospel preaching churches. You hear the word of God taught, and you hear of people getting saved. Young people and older people. You hear adults, your mom, your dad, family, connection. You hear them talking about so-and-so has got saved. And obviously the news is most welcome. You can see that the adults are delighted with the news. But it doesn't move you. It doesn't prompt you to say, I know I need to be saved. And here are other people getting saved. I should get saved as well. But it doesn't move you. That's what these men did. These men who were lost for all eternity. Will you give heed today? Will you act upon what you know is right and obey the gospel? Well, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you will cause the seed to take root in hearts today. Trouble the hearts of boys and girls who are not yet saved. May they realize that they know that they should be saved. They know how they should be saved, even by coming to Christ, and yet they're refusing to come. Lord, show them their sin and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the school today. We particularly pray for those engaged in examination, a stiff old exam today, Lord. Oh, that they might know what it is to look to the Lord. Pray for his quickening grace and stirring up of their memory so that they can recall the instructions they have received in the past and thus answer the questions. Look on the school today, Lord, with kindness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.